The title of the sermon today is How to Deal with Gossip. How to Deal with Gossip. We live in a violent society. You only have to look at the news to see that violence is an everyday occurrence in almost every country on the face of the earth. And yet, millions of seemingly harmless people inflict damage on their fellow citizens on an ongoing basis. Their instrument of violence is not a gun, a knife, a baseball bat, or a bottle, but the tongue. This small part of the human anatomy can be used as an instrument of violence by gossiping. Whether the gossip is accidental or premeditated, the effects are the same. Yes, words in the form of gossip can hurt us and other people. But just what is gossip? Gossip accuses people. It charges other people with wrong. It is very often based on half-truths, or less. And by the time it has been past several people, the original meaning can be totally lost. Many people, because of a bad memory, or because they didn't hear fully a matter in the first place, can often totally alter the original meaning. That can be done innocently, but there are those who are intent on mischief and will intentionally alter a story or put a bias on it to suit their own purposes. An accusation is deadly gossip. Gossip slanders neighbour. It can destroy a person's character, credibility, or personal reputation. We do have to be very careful in this area. He who lives by the sword of slander shall die by the sword of slander. Let us look at what the great Creator God says in Psalm 101, verse 5. Psalm 101, verse 5. Psalm 101 verse 5 says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbour, him will I destroy. In other words, putting it in modern parlance, what goes round comes round. Or better, in another biblical verse, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap, which is Galatians 6 verse 7. Gossip talks indiscreetly. Those who just say anything that comes into their mind spread gossip. They do not engage minds before employing their tongues. They do not evaluate what they are about to say and the effect it will have on other people. In short, gossip is communication which hurts other people. Let us review Proverbs 18, verse 8. Proverbs 18, verse 8. This book, the book of Proverbs, is a storehouse of wisdom. It says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. As it says in the King James Bible commentary, in fact, the fool's mouth eventually will lead him to destruction if its vile production is not curtailed. The fool readily gives his ear to the talebearer and greedily swallows his words as if they were delicious food. But what is the source of gossip? I'm sure that we all know that Satan, the devil, is usually at the heart of all problems, and he is in this case. And so what is the answer to combating gossip? Well, here are a number of ways that may help. First of all, realize the source of gossip. Realize the source of gossip. We don't do what we hate unless we're masochistic. Satan started gossip. Had you ever thought about that? Let's have a look at John 8, verse 44. Jesus gives a very clear explanation of our adversary. John 8, verse 44. John 8, verse 44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan probably used gossip to assassinate God in the eyes of one third of the angels, causing them to rebel. Jesus said that Satan is a lying slanderer, because in verse 44 he says he is a liar and the father of it. Satan accuses both God and human beings today through unsuspecting people. Let's look at Revelation 12, verse 10. Revelation 12, verse 10 tells us about the end time activity of our accuser. Revelation 12, verse 10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down.'" This is the evil being who has made it his life's work to accuse those who are God's begotten children in his true church. That's you and me. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, and he is tirelessly at his occupation. Remember what God said in chapter 1 of Job, Job 1 verse 11. If you'll turn there. This is what Satan said to God about Job. It says, Job 1 verse 11. Said, "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Here, Satan is up to his old tricks. He denies what God affirms, as he did in Eden, sees evil where God sees good, and acknowledges no love towards God in the world that is rooted in self-love. He is sarcastic, cynical, negative, critical, suspicious, reflecting his own egotistical, selfish nature in all that he does and all that he says. Satan accused Job of serving God because it paid him to do so. A true servant of the Lord does not sell himself to God. He gives himself to God, and without conditions. Satan implies that love and loyalty can be bought, and that everything and everyone has a price. Satan reasons this way about Job. He said Job is faithful to God because of the blessings he receives. He has it made. So he would be a fool not to be religious. But if God should take away the blessings that Job had, business, livelihood, family, home, money, friends, and status in the community, then Job would no longer have any reason to serve God. As a matter of fact, he is probably so used to thinking all these things as the work of his own hands. He will turn on God and curse him to his face for taking away Job's things. That's the way Satan reasons. It is why men serve God, then, is the issue. Some serve him out of fear. They can reason that if they don't, something bad will happen. Some serve God to cash in on the promise of peace, joy, material blessings and earthly rewards of various kinds in this life. Others serve God for pretty much the same rewards, though they think them as coming in the next life. Not that there isn't any truth in those three positions, but Scripture is clear. We are to love God and serve him simply because he is God. We must come to love him for who he is, not what he gives us now or later. If you'll turn to Job 2 verse 5. Job 2 verse 5. Where Satan continues. He says, "But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." Satan does not give up easily. And again, he denies what God affirms. His second accusation against Job is even more insidious than the first, and the ancient proverb about skin for skin seems to imply that when you come right down to it, man is so selfish and self-centered that he will always sacrifice someone else's skin to save his own, even his own family. All that a man has will he give for his life. The adversary says that anyone would give up all his possessions to save his life. That is no big thing for Job to do. He further implies that Job's pious response to the losses, as we read in verses 20 to 22, was a faked act to stop the attacks while he still had his life and good health. In other words, the accusations is that Job shrewdly said what God wanted to hear, but was not sincere. Satan again assumes everyone is like he is. And in all too many cases, unfortunately, he is right. He also accused Joshua, the high priest. You'll turn to Zechariah 3 verse 1. Zechariah 3 verse 1. We read the following. Zechariah 3 verse 1. "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. While he was going about his priestly function, Joshua had an adversary alongside of him. It was none other than Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." It does seem unthinkable. Satan in the temple, alongside God's minister in the presence of the angel of the Lord. Satan's mission is ominous: to resist, to oppose, to accuse, to hate Joshua in the very act of performing his spiritual duties. Now, apparently, the Hebrew text has a beautiful play on words, which, if translated literally, would be something like, "And Satan standing at his right hand for the purpose of satanizing him." Satan's purposes are always consistent with his intrinsic nature. And Jesus said about Simon Peter that Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Let's look at that in Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22 verse 31. This is where Jesus predicted Peter's denial of him. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, this passage is not speaking just about Simon Peter, but to Simon Peter, addressing the apostles. Interestingly, as this sermon is being translated into German, this distinction in German is made very clear. Satan has asked for all of you, euch, E-U-C-H, in German, which is plural, not the singular, that he may sift you, plural as wheat. So he was talking about the apostles. The godly of all ages have been the target of Satan's slanders. In the book of Jude, if you'll turn there please, the book of Jude, right at the end of the New Testament, we read about the power of Satan. Jude verses 8 to 10. It says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Satan is the source of gossip. Don't allow him to whisper in our ears. He is all too eager and willing if we let him do that. Many people live and thrive on gossip, always eager to pass on tidbits of information. Some people seem to be addicted to it, as others may be addicted to drugs. In fact, gossip and the spreading of such information may become, with many people, just part of their everyday lives. Of course, idleness can breed gossip. Those who are idle with their hands can be very active with their tongues. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, you'll turn there, 1 Timothy 5 verse 13, is another description of activities which we should not be involved with. 1 Timothy 5:13, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. And so, having realized the source, what is the cure? I want today to look at six keys that can be helpful in this regard. The first one, very important, is for us to realize how much God hates gossip. Realize how much God hates gossip. Let's turn to Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. Proverbs 6, starting in verse 16. Says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil. Verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates to see his children hurting one another, and yet he must see some of us day in and day out, destroying one another with gossip. He wants a ceasefire of the tongues. We know that the media, some newspapers in particular have huge circulation because they concentrate on trivia, gossip, and innuendo. They love a good story that sell newspapers and can often find out later that there was not a shred of evidence in the story. And if that turns out to be the case, an apology, often in small print, almost hidden at the bottom of page 10, is made. But they have had their day, and if it destroys a person's reputation or harms him or her in any way, well, that just seems to be tough luck. We must never, ever adopt such a callous attitude. That is the way of the world. It must never be the way of the true Christian. God wants us to have the same attitude as he has to gossip. And so the first step towards stopping gossip is to hate it. We are to become more like God and should be striving all the time to be like him, to think like him, and to do that which he tells us to do. I recall seeing a trailer for a television program which said, "We will bring you all the show business gossip." And many newspapers have their own gossip writers who usually, with some relish, write their gossip columns. If God were editor of these newspapers, please be assured that there would be no gossip columns whatsoever. He hates gossip. There was gossip about Jesus Christ. If you'll turn to John 8, verses 40 to 44. John 8, starting in verse 40. It says, "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." However, of course, these people wanted to kill Christ. Such works were not characteristic of Abraham. Consequently, these people were not Abraham's children. Verse 41, "You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." It's a very telling phrase. "We were not born of fornication." The "we" is emphasized. This is an insinuation that Jesus was illegitimate, but they were truly of God the Father. They were alluding to or indicating that Christ was born of fornication. And that was obviously a rumor, gossip, if you will, that must have circulated for about 30 years. Verse 42, "Jesus said to them, 'If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me.'" Verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. And as we read earlier, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Christ identified the father of lies, the devil. He was their father. Physically, they were Abraham's children, but spiritually, they were the devil's children. They were acting like the devil. He was a murderer, and they wanted to murder Christ. He abode not in the truth, and they had rejected the truth. Satan, he is the father of lies. Since these people were the sons of a liar, they rejected the truth. And gossip often starts when lies are told. God hates gossip, and so should we. And that's the first key to curing this problem, that we should hate gossip. The second point is to repent of gossiping. The second key is to repent of gossiping. Perhaps we don't think about this matter anywhere near as much as we should, but gossiping is sin. We are told to repent of our sins. We know that in Exodus 20, verse 16, the ninth of the 10th commandments, those commandments which today's Christianity believes are done away with, says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour." Now you would think that that was a simple enough instruction. Bearing false witness is another term for lying. God desires the truth in the inward parts, which will be reflected in our outward speech. A main thrust of this commandment focuses on the harm done to one's neighbours by the types of accusation and slander that make up gossip. Think about it. Isn't it easy to sit at the dinner table and tear someone else to pieces? Isn't it easy to be in a group of people who are maligning someone who is not there to defend themselves? Isn't it easy to give in to our human nature, which finds it easy to tear down and destroy rather than build up and edify? Isn't it easy to buy a tabloid newspaper or magazine, and we know which ones they are, which thrive on gossip, half-truths, innuendo and sheer destruction of people's character? Isn't it easy to be in a group discussion after church and make comments about someone else that is neither edifying nor helpful? Let's turn to James 4. James 4, verses 10 and 11. The subheading in the New King James Version is, "Do not judge a brother." James 4, verse 10. Says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Here, James discussed humility in the previous verse in order to advance a principle. True humility cannot be achieved by one who slanders his brothers. As an appeal to spiritual unity, the word brother is mentioned three times. When a man impugns his Christian brother, he proudly sets himself above the law that God has established. Gossiping is bearing false witness and is accusatory and is therefore sin. Repent and never do it again. I remember being taught as a youngster a principle that if you can't speak well of someone, don't speak at all. That's something that I have to say is a principle I have tried to uphold, but have certainly not been totally successful in achieving that in the past. In fact, I've made many mistakes in this area. And I suspect that each one of us here today has done the same. We are human. We make mistakes. But all of us have to learn to do much better. Repentance to many in the world is, to them, just a matter of saying sorry. Many often go out and do the same thing again, knowing full well that next Sunday morning they can confess their sins and go out again during the week committing the same sins. And so the cycle just keeps going round and round. To us, it goes much deeper than that. Repentance to the children of God is to be deeply sorry for what we've done and to do everything possible not to repeat those mistakes again. To make every effort to make sure we don't make those mistakes again. Very, very, very important. We will sin again because we are not perfect. But the difference is that we will, or we should, make every effort in this direction, not just sin repetitiously as a matter of habit, but to strain every spiritual sinew to do better. We can quite clearly see that this sort of behaviour is prevalent in the world, and that is not accusatory of anyone in particular, but an observation that anyone with an eye to see can make legitimately. It was a problem in the apostolic church. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 19 and 20. Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, beloved, for your edification. For I fear lest, when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults. I would say, hello, what are we finding here? This is the true church of God, and there were whisperings? I'm afraid that's true. Paul was a giant of a man. He was involved with this group of people, and they had all of these problems, including backbitings and whisperings. These are foundational problems associated with gossip. They had problems then. Are we, even as the true church of God in the 21st century, any different today? Of course not. We still have our human nature. We are still fighting Satan and his demons. We're fighting the society in which we live, and which they have in the palm of their hand. And so these verses in 2 Corinthians could equally be said about us today. Let us please learn from history. Let us repent from this sin and strive to do much better in the future. The third area, which I've already touched on, but I'll go through again, is to realize the source. Where does it come from? Realize the source. Satan originated gossip. No Christian wants to be an instrument of the devil. And yet when we gossip, we are indeed being used by Satan. He not only started gossip, he now perpetuates it through human beings. Let's read Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. This shows the source of the world's problems. And we've read this many times, but it's very applicable to what we're discussing today. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Wherein, in times past, Paul describes the past manifestation of a man devoid of spiritual life, and that applied to each and every one of us before our calling. It's what we were like once. We have all walked according to the course of this world. Before conversion, we walked habitually in a wrong path of conduct, conforming to the world's laws, the low standard of morality, ethics, and general behavior, doing what comes naturally. According to the prince of the power of the air, that is, dominated by the devil, who administers the corrupt power of unholy spirits. We must never forget that the devil is a real being, although he has successfully misled so many to believe that he actually doesn't exist. Oh yes, he does. The evidence is all around. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Satan exerts himself effectively in this wicked society. Mr. Herbert Armstrong wrote the following in his book, Mystery of the Ages, on page 59. He just wrote, very simply, he says, people simply do not realize that there is an invisible spirit power injecting into their minds these hostile attitudes. Sums it up beautifully in a few words. And gossip is a hostile attitude. We know that Satan and his evil demons are trying to do everything they can to throw you and me off the track, to make sure, if possible, that we don't make it into the kingdom of God. He will try every trick and ruse possible, and diverting our attention from living God's way of life to a way of life that has his sticky little fingerprints all over it is his modus operandi. And gossip is certainly one of the tools that he uses. The next time you are tempted to gossip, think about the source and bite your tongue. The fourth key is don't listen. Don't listen. Now that's easier said than done, isn't it? But it is essential. But doesn't human nature, and we all have human nature, doesn't it want to know what's going on? It can pique our interest. We can think that we're missing out on something important, interesting, intriguing, or tantalizing if we don't listen. Just look at the newspapers and magazines which exist purely to circulate gossip. Sometimes there may be some truth in allegations. Other times there may be nothing in them at all. But they continue to pump out this garbage because it's what people want to hear and are prepared to pay for, and it makes them a considerable amount of money. Many publications advertise brazenly, openly, for such information and say that they will pay for it. But not only should we repent of any gossiping that we may have done, we should just stop listening to it. There is an old saying that it takes two to tango, and it certainly takes two to gossip. One passing on the information, the other one doing the talking. The one doing the talking and the one doing the listening. Gossip would stop instantly if everyone would stop listening. It would be gone. It would be finished. It really is no fun whatsoever gossiping to yourself. Let's look at 2 John 10. 2 John 10 and 11. It gives some unbeatable advice about not listening to that which will cause a spiritual shipwreck. If anyone comes to you, 2 John 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, whilst this is strictly speaking about doctrine, the same principle applies to gossip. We are not to tolerate false doctrine. No welcome is to be made to anyone who speaks falsely. We are not to receive them into our house, nor to greet them. Likewise, anyone who brings gossip should be made equally unwelcome. We don't want it brought into our house. We should not want to listen to it, however interesting or tantalizing it may be. Satan knows exactly what he is doing. He knows that this can interest us. He knows that the vast, overwhelming majority of the population will be very interested in any tidbits or morsels that may come their way. As we live in this corrupt society, let us not make the mistake of letting down or falling prey to Satan's wiles. Just listening to gossip makes us an accomplice, even if we're not spreading the poison. If anyone comes to you with gossip, don't listen. We can be, as the saying goes, all ears. But as gently and tactfully as possible, tell the person that the subject matter does not concern you and you'd rather not discuss it. And be as firm as necessary. The person should quickly get the message and the gossip should quickly stop. The fifth key, number five, is to detect gossip. Detect gossip. To stop gossip, you must recognize it in the first place. But how? God has provided us with a gossip detection system. Let us look at that system as described in Philippians 4 verse 8, which shows where our focus must be. Philippians 4 verse 8. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So let us carefully review this verse. It says, finally, in other words, it's saying, in conclusion, whatsoever introduces six adjectives picturing what are today considered as old-fashioned Christian ideas and values. First one is true, in accordance with fact or reality, not false or erroneous. The first criteria for proper communication is that it be true. In fact, you or the person telling you should be able to prove what is being said is true. If it can't be proven, it shouldn't be listened to or spoken of. So much of that which is spoken of today is made up, embellished, exaggerated, about which is just plain wrong. Be very, very careful in this area. Noble, it says, that is fair and upright in speech and action, having lofty character and ideals. But what if it is true? Should we still get involved? Not unless it's noble. The information should not in any way tarnish the character, name or reputation of anyone else. Any hint of disrespect should set off alarm bells in our minds that this could be heading in the direction of gossip. And it says just, that which is equitable and fair. Here Paul goes even further by declaring that the information must be just. This means that we should not discuss or listen to discussions about the sins of others. How easily we can fall into this particular trap. We have all sinned, all of us, and fallen short of the glory of God. If you turn to Proverbs 17 verse 9, this shows the end product of both good and bad conduct. Proverbs 17 verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. The man who goes about peddling information, which can often be gained by the passing of confidential information is doing evil. Such evil work has ended many friendships. Continuing in Philippians 4 verse 8, the next word is pure, that is stainless, chaste, unsullied. Our words must be pure. In our sick and perverted society, blasphemy and profanity have become an accepted norm. God does not want his people spreading dirty words or stories. We must keep our ears and mouths pure. The next word is lovely. Lovable, endearing, amiable, gracious, charming, pleasing. Accept only lovely things into our mind, things that affect us and others in a positive and uplifting way. Then it says, of good report. The concise Oxford Dictionary defines this as faithful through good and evil, also fair speaking. We must make sure that the words we speak and hear are of a good report. Bad news bombards us constantly. Human nature seems to thrive on bad news. We are admonished to concentrate on the good things. Then it says, if there be any virtue, mental, moral, and physical excellence, if there be any praise, anything praiseworthy, deemed worthy of praise. Then it says, and this one verse, think on these things. Meditate on them with careful reflection. Not casually and superficially, but constantly and logically. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he, as it states in Proverbs 23, verse 7. Noble thinking produces noble living. High thinking produces high living, and holy thinking produces holy living. All these noble qualities were exemplified in Christ and are produced by the Holy Spirit. We should use the gossip detectors of truth, honour, righteousness, purity, loveliness, and good reports to stop gossip. The sixth key is to speak to edify. To speak to edify, to build up. In the same verse of Philippians 4 verse 8, Paul said that we should speak words of virtue. Virtuous words are words of excellence and value. Words that produce good fruit and that build up the speaker, the listener, and everyone else. Let us look at Romans 14 verse 19, showing what we must pursue. Romans 14 verse 19. It says, Romans 14 verse 19, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Paul cautioned the Romans to pursue those issues which will tend towards building the common bond of faith between the weak and the strong. We must realize that we all have different levels of understanding. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have been in the church for different periods of time from many other members. And we all vary in many other different ways. Sometimes such differences can cause problems. But that's wrong. Irrespective of such differences, we should always strive to edify, to build up, to exhort, to encourage every other church member in every way we can. Let's read Acts 9 verse 31, where we read how the early church behaved, how the church in the first century behaved. Acts 9 verse 31. Acts 9 verse 31 says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. They had peace and edification. What a great combination that is. Edifying, that is to build up and profit. It's an integral part of the Christian way of life. We are to speak words of praise, words that praise the great works of God. Much better to talk about his great creation and all his wonderful glory. It's much better to talk about God's way of life. Much better to speak words of praise about the good in other people. Much better to encourage others to do their best. Much better to comfort other people when they are discouraged. Part of the ministry's job specification is to edify, to build up. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 14, where it gives a list of ministerial functions and what they achieve. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What were they given for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, the church, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. With the end in view of building up spiritually the whole body of Christ, our Lord is interested in quantity, but he is much more concerned about quality. All the saints, that's us, every last one of us who have been baptized, all the saints are to be equipped for the work of edification and then be engaged in the work of edification. Edifying as an integral part of the ministry's work and as a quality that everyone in the Church of God should develop. In short, we must use our tongue to bring life, not death. We know what gossip is. We know its source. We even know why people gossip. More importantly, we should know how to stop gossip. So let us stop this heinous crime. I gave a sermon in the UK many years ago and repeated this at the first feast we had in Germany in the Black Forest in 2013. And the sermon was entitled, "The Church Does Not Have Perfect People." Before I started attending the Church of God in 1973, I expected that church people would be pretty much perfect because they had the truth. That was simplistic, flawed thinking, and very wrong. What I hadn't factored into that equation was Satan's influence, his demons' activities, the corrupt and evil society in which we live, our own human nature, and our own ingrained bad habits. That's quite a list, and it does take its toll. In addition, I was unaware at that time about Satan's rebellion against God, along with those who followed him, about one third of the angels. Then Adam and Eve went the wrong way. Their first son Cain was a murderer. Then the world became so evil that all but Noah and his family perished in the flood. After that, man again adopted Satan's way, and Jesus, the only righteous man who ever lived, was killed for our sakes. Then the early apostolic church had some considerable problems, as the New Testament clearly shows. This continued down through the centuries, as church history shows, and the last nearly 100 years of recent Church of God history has followed the same pattern. Nothing changes. When you see anyone in the church sowing discord, if you see anybody in the church sowing discord, whispering behind the minister's back, trying to promote his own better way, it is only that which has been the way of man for nearly 6,000 years. If somebody whispers in our ears that which is not in accordance with church teaching, have nothing to do with it. People have come and gone. Troublemakers have come and gone. Wolves in sheep's clothing have come and gone. Never take your cue from other people. Follow what Scripture teaches. I've seen over 47 years in the church many people come and go, some quietly and some not so quietly, trying to entice to take other people with them. Please don't fall for it. It's not in your interest. You have been approached, you may have been approached in recent years by someone who doesn't quite agree with this, that, or the other, and will try and engage you in conversation about it, or try and persuade you that he or she is right. There always seems to be someone who has to be there causing dissension. If in doubt, consult privately the ministry and get godly counsel, or you could be in trouble spiritually. Let us look at one famous piece of scripture, Matthew 13, verses 24 and 25, which helps us to understand why these things happen. It's always a good thing to get to know why. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now we read further in this passage that they were to gather the tares at a later time and bind them in bundles to burn them. But the wheat was the fruit of the harvest. Wheat and tares look exactly the same. They have the same colour, grow in the same way, and have the same seeds. The only difference is that one is always unfruitful, the tares. Let us make sure that we don't fall into that category. Some come and go, but the church will never fail. Only those individuals who may heed gossip and troublemakers and fall for their gossip and dissidence is a great danger. Please remember this. If you are being called now, this is your one and only chance of eternal life in the kingdom of God. Don't throw it away because of some troublemakers and gossip. The alternative is surely too terrible to even contemplate. Avoid gossip. Avoid those who gossip and stay with God's proper way of life. The blessing for doing so will be out of this world, quite literally. Let me recount a story which is very applicable to the matter we've been reviewing today. And this short story is "The Snake That Poisons Everyone." It reads, "It topples governments, it wrecks marriages, it ruins careers, it busts reputations, causes heartaches, nightmares, indigestion, spawns suspicion, generates grief, dispatches innocent people to cry in their pillows. Even its name hisses. It's called gossip, office gossip, shop gossip, party gossip. It makes headlines and headaches. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, shut up." That's what it says. These are the words of wisdom. In short, let us use our tongues to bring life, not death. That's the end of that story. But when I said shut up, that was in the story, not me. Let us briefly recap on what we've discussed today. We've seen the following keys to cure this problem of gossiping. They are: realize how much God hates gossip. The second key is repent of gossiping. Thirdly, realize the source. The next time you are tempted to gossip, think about the source and bite your tongue. The fourth is don't listen. The fifth, detect gossip. And sixth, speak to edify, to build up. Will these words fall on deaf ears today? Well, I hope not. Please note that some listen to learn, not listen to change. It's easy to sit and be taught, but what do we do with that knowledge? Do we listen so that we can learn and change? That is precisely what we must do. Listen and change. And when it comes to gossip, let us learn these keys and make sure that we eliminate gossip from our Christian lives.